The Bible is the word of Almighty God. Therefore, it does not need to be defended, only understood. The purpose of this program is to present to you, our viewers, the key to understanding the Scriptures. There is within the pages of the Bible itself a God-given design for studying the Bible. All the confusion that exists within Christianity today is the result of two failures. Number one, ignoring God's design for Bible study. And number two, failing to believe what the Bible actually says. We remind you of what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5:18, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall abide forever." We're instructed in Romans 3:4, "Let God be true, but every man a liar." We are informed by 2 Timothy 3:16 that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And as well, God tells us how to study His Word in 2 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That's God's design, rightly dividing the word of truth. Not according to your liking, not into verses you want or don't want to obey, but making distinctions where God makes distinctions. Obeying that portion of the Bible that is specifically addressed to us today. Now, here is our teacher, Pastor Thomas Bruchet.
It's really good to be with you again this week on the Message of Grace and have the opportunity to open up the Bible and share with you some things from the Word of God right to you there in your homes. I'm Pastor Tom Bruchet of Grace Bible Church, and we really enjoy having the opportunity of sharing the Word. We get together regularly and study the Bible at our assembly, and of course you're always invited to come and be a part of that. But, you know, we do study the Bible. You know, we live in an age in which some people, they spend a lot of time in churches, and they spend a lot of time doing things for the Lord, so to speak, and they spend a lot of time in religious activity. And then when it comes right down to it, they don't have a real good grasp on the Bible and the things that it teaches. Now, I'm going to share some things today because our broadcast is an opportunity for us to study the Bible with you and to share some things with you. And I'm going to say some things that today that might be new to some of you, and it might be offensive to others of you, but don't worry about that because I'm not right there at your home. I'm not talking to you face to face. I'm just in a television set. You don't have to be threatened by the things that I'm saying. So you could just listen, and if you don't believe them and you don't find them in the Word of God, don't believe them. But if indeed it does show up in the Word of God, then maybe you need to think a little bit about some of the things that you think honor the Lord. What I want to talk about today is we live in an age that is been called the age of the Holy Spirit. And it is properly called that because in the Old Testament, God the Father spoke through the prophets to the nation of Israel. Then there came a time in which God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, came and spoke to the nation of Israel and ministered to the nation of Israel. But when He went away, He said He would send the Comforter, and the Holy Spirit came and began to minister to the nation of Israel. And that's what the early part of the book of Acts is about. But you know, there came a change in your Bible that after you go midway through the book of Acts, that God turns away from the nation of Israel and turns to the Gentiles, and it begins a new dispensation, a new dispensing of God. In fact, God appoints a new apostle. He saved the apostle Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus, saved him and made him the apostle to the Gentiles, gave him a new commission. He gave him the preaching of the cross to go out and share with the Gentiles. And that's different than what God was doing with the nation of Israel and with the 12 apostles. Now that's a big piece of information that many people already don't know. But when God did switch, cut off the nation of Israel and turn to the Gentiles, the Holy Spirit that was working in the world did the same thing. He didn't leave the believing remnant of Israel, but He quit dealing with the nation of Israel, quit ministering through the 12 apostles to Israel, and went out with the apostle Paul and began to minister to the Gentiles and sanctify, set apart the Gentiles for a people unto God. Now, first of all, that you need to understand, when you come to the book of Romans, the book after Acts, it does make very clear that God did cut off the Jews. It says, and by the way, when I say that, that doesn't mean forever, and that's what this epistle is about. Romans chapter 11, verse 1 says, "I say then, hath God cast away His people?" And the question is, did God cast away His people totally, all of them, and forever? The answer to that is, God forbid. And Paul says, "For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. And then the passage goes on to talk about how God has a remnant of believers in the nation of Israel. But Paul does say this in verse 11 of Romans 11. He says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Again, totally and forever. God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, it does say that they did fall, and that because of their fall, salvation goes to the Gentiles. And on our chart over here, we have that pointed out to you. We have, in the Old Testament, God who spoke to the prophets, spoke to the people through the prophets. Then came the life of Jesus Christ, and He came, and He died, was buried, rose again, and then 40 days later ascended back into heaven. Sent the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit ministry continued to minister with the 12 apostles to the nation of Israel, until they continued, as Stephen said, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. That's Acts chapter 7. As your fathers did, so do ye. And Israel rejected the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And as we're reading now in Romans chapter 11, God cut off. Israel fell. And God cut off the nation of Israel. He kept the believing remnant, and they'll have their promise. But God cut off the rest of the nation and turned to Gentiles. And because He's doing a new program, He didn't use Peter, James, and John to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He began a new ministry after Stephen tells Israel about their rejection. In Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul is saved. And the Apostle Paul then he becomes the apostle to the Gentiles to carry God's salvation to the Gentiles. And rather than these people who preached the kingdom of heaven was at hand, the Apostle Paul began to look back and he preached the full work of the cross of Jesus Christ and how God is saving out a group of people today that He's going to take into heaven and give us a heavenly hope. Now, that information is important for you to know. And Romans chapter 11, verse 11 makes it real clear. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them be the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? If God is able to take the fall of Israel and bring riches to the Gentiles today in His grace, the question is, how much more God is going to be able to do when He blesses the nation of Israel and puts them in their kingdom that He's promised them? Paul says in verse 13, for I speak unto you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office, if by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, that is the nation of Israel, and save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? And sure enough, when God again, after a time of judgment of judging this earth, and then Jesus Christ returns, there's going to be a resurrection of the dead. Israel's going to be established in her kingdom, and great blessings are going to come to this earth then. So Paul talks about them being cast away, but there is a hope. There is a future for them. Verse 25 says, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. And notice what we say about this age of grace. The age of grace is a mystery. It's some information that the Apostle Paul was given that God never made known to the Old Testament prophets concerning His purpose of saving Paul and saving a body of believers out of the Jews and out of the Gentiles to use them for a heavenly purpose. That's all new information when you come to Paul's epistles. But Paul said, I would not that you should be ignorant of this mystery, brethren, lest you should be wise in your own conceit that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. And when this age is filled up, when God is done calling out Gentiles and filling up the body of Christ, it says, and so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion a deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. Jesus Christ is going to come back and save the nation of Israel, take away their national sins, and establish His kingdom with them. That's the promise He made. Now, I said that just so that you'd realize the Bible does say that in this particular age, at this particular time, God has cut off the nation of Israel, but not that everyone's cut off. They can come just like a Gentile and be saved because God is saving all who will believe in Jesus Christ today and not making a Gentile a Jew or not making a Jew a Gentile, but taking a Jew and Gentile who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and making them part of the body of Christ. Now, Paul says concerning that in chapter 15 of Romans, in verse 15, nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God. Rather, when Israel rejected the message that Stephen was preaching and that the 12 were preaching about their opportunity to enter into the kingdom, when they rejected that, the prophet said God's wrath would fall. 7 years of tribulation. You read about that in the book of Revelation. But rather than that wrath falling, God, rather than bringing wrath, saved the Apostle Paul and brought an age, a dispensation of grace in. Now that's what Paul is saying here, that he writes boldly to them to put them in mind of the grace that's given to him of God. That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, notice this now, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Israel, the nation of Israel, was being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. When God called out the Apostle Paul and sent him to the Gentiles to begin the age of grace that was a mystery never known before, the Holy Spirit began to sanctify the Gentiles, make them holy and acceptable unto God, and began to work in the Gentiles. So I say that to you so that you realize as we enter into the age of grace that the Holy Spirit is working in the age of grace. Now, many, because it's the age of the Holy Spirit, they have some peculiar ideas about what the Holy Spirit does. And one of the things that many people do in their religious activity and in their enthusiasm, I imagine, for wanting to serve the Lord and get all His blessings, is that they think that when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, the next main event that's going to happen to you is you've got to get the Holy Spirit. Well, I want you to know that Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 13 tells you very clearly, and if you walk by faith and not by sight, you learn real clearly that the moment you trusted Christ as your Savior, those who have put their faith in the cross of Christ, that they have already received the Holy Spirit. In fact, Romans chapter 8 says that if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to the Lord. There's no such thing of getting saved and later getting the Holy Spirit. It says in Ephesians 1:12, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And that verse makes it real clear that after you trusted the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And when we do, when we come to the Bible, we take by faith what God said. That when I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I received the Holy Spirit. And I was sealed by that Holy Spirit as the earnest of my inheritance, of the promise that God has made me of eternal life. In fact, Ephesians 4:30 says, I'm sealed unto the day of redemption. So I did receive the Holy Spirit the moment I believed. But some people get confused with the fact that when the Holy Spirit first came, the very first time, He had to make His presence known. Right now, I got a Bible that I go to, and I find out that when I trusted Christ, I had the Holy Spirit. You know, I trusted the Lord as my Savior when I was about 8 years of age. My dad was talking to me about Jesus Christ dying on the cross and how on the cross, how cruel He was treated and spit on and mocked. And I wondered, well, gee whiz, if He was God, why didn't He come down and just kill everybody? Because that's what I would do. And my dad explained to me that the reason He did that is He willingly was letting them do that to Him so that He might bear my sins and become my Savior. And when I understood that Jesus Christ died on that cross for me, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. That's the gospel of my salvation. And this verse says that when I believed, I was sealed with the Holy Spirit. Now the Bible tells me that. But before the Holy Spirit came, the Holy Spirit had to evident Himself. He had to make it clear that He was here. And the promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit to the nation of Israel is given in Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2. But if we go back to Acts chapter 2, I want you to see something here. Acts chapter 2 is when the Holy Spirit first came. And the other thing that I want you to see is I want you to, if you jot it down, the verses, and look at them later, if you can find them in your Bible this fast, find Acts chapter 2 and then 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And here's how some of the teaching goes. Some people come right over to where the Holy Spirit came to the nation of Israel. And it says, and when the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:1, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so they realized that on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit first came and began His ministry on this earth, after the Lord Jesus Christ had ascended into heaven and sent the Holy Spirit, that the first manifestation of the Spirit was one, He came and He manifested Himself upon them because they began to speak in tongues. So today, some people say that the first evidence that you know that you have the Holy Spirit is that you must speak in tongues. Well, you know, when the Holy Spirit first came, He had to make Himself known, otherwise no one would know He was here. I don't need Him to manifest Himself because I got a Bible that tells me that when I trusted Christ, I received the Holy Spirit. But, you know, that statement, to think that everyone's got to speak in tongues soon as an evidence that they have the Holy Spirit, and if they don't speak in tongues, they don't have the Holy Spirit, contradicts the Bible. When Paul writes to the Corinthians, and they were really messed up over the sign gift of tongues, he writes to them in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and he does talk about in verse 8, "For every one of us is given by the Spirit a word of wisdom to another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit to another, faith by the same Spirit to another, the gift of healings by the same Spirit to another, the working of miracles, another prophecy, another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues." The Holy Spirit divided to severally as He willed, gave different gifts to different men when He came, even among the Gentiles. But even this is prefaced by verse 7, which said, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal." When the Holy Spirit first came to the Gentiles, He manifested Himself to the Gentiles. Otherwise, how would we know He was with the Gentiles? And you read for yourself. Acts chapter 10, the first time a Holy Spirit came on a Gentile, and how the Jews are astonished that a Gentile would receive the Holy Spirit, and how He manifested Himself by speaking in tongues. But Paul, in this 1 Corinthians 12, not only said that the Spirit did manifest itself among the Gentiles, and they did do these things, but he also asked some questions. He says, verse 28, "And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healings and helps, government, diversity of tongues." So he lists a bunch of things that the Holy Spirit was doing among the Gentiles, and he asks this, "Are all apostles?" And the obvious implication to that question, as it's written in this passage, is no, we're not all apostles. God chose special men to be apostles. Paul was an apostle. Peter was an apostle to the nation of Israel. But are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? And the answer is no. The Apostle Paul makes it clear that even when tongues were being manifested among the Gentiles to show the presence of the Holy Spirit, not everybody spoke in tongues. So if someone says to you that the way you know that God saved you and that you have the Holy Spirit is that you speak in tongues, that verse tells you no, because even when the Holy Spirit was manifesting Himself that way, not everybody was speaking in tongues. In fact, Paul ends this chapter by saying, "But covet earnestly the best gift, and yet I show you a more excellent way." And Paul begins in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians to talk about love, and how love is the most excellent way. Why is love better than the manifestation of the Spirit, the sign gifts of the Spirit? Well, the reason for that is in verse 8 of 1 Corinthians 13. He says charity, which is a very good term for what love is. Love is giving, and the Bible uses that term charity. The King James Version calls love charity. "Never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail." See, God wasn't always going to talk through prophets. There's going to be a time where people would have a Bible to go to and to rely on. "So whether there'll be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there'll be tongues, they shall cease. And whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away." And it explains, "For we know in part and prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect," God's complete revelation of Scripture, God's complete prophetic understanding and knowledge, "we know in part, we prophesy in part," and so those things were partial, but "when that which is complete comes," when that which is perfect is come. Are you familiar with "all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be thoroughly furnished, perfect unto all good works"? The Scriptures are the perfect Word of God. And it says, "But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away." When you have God's perfect Word, God's complete revelation, the manifesting of the Holy Spirit would end. And the Holy Spirit manifested Himself those three ways. Through prophecy, tongues, and giving knowledge to people that was extra-biblical. They had to get new knowledge. Paul received the knowledge of the revelation of the mystery. And so there was new information being given until the Word of God is complete. Now there's no more knowledge given out. There's no more prophecy, and the tongues have ceased. Now this was happening in the days of Corinth, and that's why when you get into chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, Paul says, follow after charity, desire spiritual gifts, but rather prophesy. And I'd like you to understand that when you read 1 Corinthians 14, the emphasis all the way through this chapter is rather prophesy. Why? Well, it says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. See, it's better. Why? Because it's a use of love. When it's said in chapter 13, I show you a more excellent way, the more excellent way is love, because some things are going to end. But you know what it says in verse 13 of chapter 13? It says, now abideth. Some things aren't going to end. Some things are going to abide through this age. Now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. And so God says there's a better way than the manifesting signs of the Spirit and the speaking of tongues. And the things that are going to abide, tongues are going to cease, but the thing that's going to abide is love. It's going to abide all the way through this age. It's going to abide through all eternity. And so that's a better way, and it's something you ought to emphasize more than the tongues, because the tongues were going to cease, and that's what chapter 14 is emphasizing, to teach rather than the tongues. And you know, that's so important for you to realize, because tongues had a purpose. God didn't just give tongues, and certainly God did manifest the presence of the Holy Spirit with tongues, but why with tongues? Well, let's go back to Acts chapter 2 and understand something very simple about, first of all, what are tongues? And why did God give it? One of the reasons we saw was to manifest the presence of the Holy Spirit. First among the nation of Israel, and then later among the Gentiles. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 12, and he says, but that the signs of an apostle were wrought among them. And the things that Paul did were signs. The gifts and the manifesting power of the Holy Spirit that Paul did were signs that he was indeed an apostle speaking the Word of God. Now, when the day of Pentecost came, the first thing the Holy Spirit did is gave them utterance. You know what utterance means? The Holy Spirit came, they began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Utterance means to speak clearly. When the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6 to pray for him, he said, that utterance might be given unto me, that I might make the gospel known as I ought to speak. And what he was praying for, when he prayed for utterance, he said that I might speak real clearly so people can understand the message that God gave me to preach. So when the Holy Spirit came and they began to speak with tongue, they began to speak with, that Spirit gave them utterance, very clear speech. Why is that? Well, it says in verse 5, I'm in Acts 2 now, verse 5, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now it was noised abroad that the multitude came together and were confounded, because every man heard them speak in his own language. And later, as you read through all the different languages they spoke through, in verse 11 it says, they heard them speak the wonderful works of God. When the apostles began to speak in tongues, they were speaking languages. And they were prophesying, were speaking the Word of God so that people could hear the message that they were proclaiming. And when God made them to speak in tongues, tongues is a human language, it's not gibberish. And it was for the apostles to make clear the message that they were to go out and preach. Acts chapter 1 in verse 8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses of me unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and all Samaria, and notice this, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Do you ever try to go traveling and speak to people to the uttermost parts of the earth? You're going to have a problem. You're going to have a problem because when you go back to Genesis chapter 10 and Genesis chapter 11, it said in verse 1 of Genesis 11 that the whole earth was of one language and one speech. But before you're done with Genesis chapter 11, they're not speaking one language anymore, and they don't have one speech, because all men, all the nations that grew and multiplied since the time of Noah, began to decide that they weren't going to worship God, that they're going to worship the creation rather than the Creator, and they began to build a city and a tower whose top might reach unto heaven, lest they would be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And God reached down there and confounded their languages so that He would scatter the nations throughout the whole earth. The problem was when the nations were scattered, they no longer knew God. Genesis chapter 12 in your Bible is where God called out Abraham, and His purpose for creating a great nation through Abraham, the nation of Israel, was that through the nation of Israel, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. But now all the nations of the earth speak a different language. When you come to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, to the 12 apostles in the book of Acts, and they're commanded to wait for the power of the Spirit before they go out and witness, they're to witness in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth, how are they going to do that? They don't have time to go to language school. But the Bible, they didn't need time, because when the Holy Spirit came, He began to speak through them, and not just prophesy through them, but speak in all the languages of the world, so that these apostles could go and fulfill their commission of speaking the gospel of the kingdom to all the world, just like they were told to do. So you know what that tells you? That tongues isn't some chaotic thing that doesn't make any sense. That tongues was part of the ministry of the apostles to the nation of Israel. Then later, God cut off the nation of Israel, raised up the apostle Paul, and sent him to all the nations of the earth with the gospel of the cross of Jesus Christ. And you know what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14? I speak in tongues more than you all. And you follow the journeys of the Apostle Paul and see how he didn't travel from Asia all the way over to Greece and Macedonia and all the way over to Rome, and his desire was to go to Spain. You realize all those represent different languages of the world, and yet he himself is a Hebrew. And so he had to know those languages, and God used him to go out and preach the gospel of the grace of God. But you know, when the Bible said, I'll show you a more excellent way, and again, that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, when the Bible comes complete, and now we have God's Word that His Holy Spirit is here, sealing us the moment we believe, then some things were going to end, and prophecy was among them, and so was the gift of tongues. The Bible clearly says, 13:8 of 1 Corinthians, that tongues would cease. And when it ceased, He said, I'll show you a more excellent way, and that more excellent way is love. And you know what the gifts, the fruit of the Spirit is today? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And the more excellent way for you to minister to one to another is let the love of God work in you to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone else. Think about that.
We hope this program has been an eye-opener to you. We are not out to destroy anyone's faith, but to establish your faith upon the truth. Only then will you experience real liberty. The truth shall set you free. If we can be of any further assistance to you, we would love to help you. Or if you would like any of the free literature you see on your screen, you may call or write Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Our phone number is area code 313-778-5032. Once again, that's Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093, area code 313-778-5032. This program was presented freely to you in cooperation with this local public cable station. Thank you for sharing this time with us. Join us again this time next week to learn more about God's message of grace. Until then, this is Daniel Schulert speaking for all of us at Grace Bible Church, praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being lightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe.